Hey everyone, and welcome to the new Signals from the Frontline, your every weekly show brought to you by Frontline Gaming. We are your hosts, Kicker, the Chief of Serial, and Sigilite of the FLG. I'm Seth the Mad Doc, your competitive correspondent, and over here on our next screen is Nikki D. Cannon, our producer extraordinaire. How has everyone been doing?
This is amazing. I love our new home. I feel like I'm Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon.
This is IP distinct from the Millennium Falcon.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you so much, Seth. The generic spaceship that we all know and love.
That definitely wasn't based off of.
Of course not. It's perfect.
That's Guardsman on the table. Did you see that, Kicker? That's Guardsman.
Wow. Thank you for putting the Guardsman on the table.
I got Guardsman. I got Death Guard. And then I think I got some orcs hiding over there. Yeah. They're all around.
So those of you that are listening to our show right now and not getting the beautiful visual images, we have updated. We are new and improved. We have a fancy studio that is basically a non-Star Wars specific science fiction spaceship. It is glorious. Nikki D has his own little alcove. Can we cut to Nikki D's alcove?
Nikki D cave.
Say hi, dude. How you doing in your new home?
I feel like I'm the guys in Step Brothers. I have so much room for activities back here, guys. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with all of it.
You have the little hollow table full of models, and there is definitely a bunch of paint back there and model cases. You can go nuts, man.
I love it. I mean, I'm supposed to be working back here, so that's what all the room is for.
Yeah, that's the working area.
You've got a lot of shelf space. We all got shelf space. I love this. I love this virtual shelf space. This is wonderful. Yeah, I feel really happy about this. So, guys, we are back, new and improved. Seth, Nikki D, and myself here. We are very happy. And like we've always done, we have hobby progress to share because this keeps us accountable. And I have to share, guys, I have been busy working. Look at this. Boom. There we go. Yes, I am Kroot. I've got my Kroot Rampagers. Those are like kind of the melee Kroot Talks. I've got a Kroot Talks writer with a big shooty. I am very excited to get these on the table. I know they're just washed.
I don't
see
a kicker head on any of those. What happened to the kicker head Rampager I made for you?
Yeah, I thought it would be a little egotistical to be running a miniature that looked like myself. So yeah, I just took the generic ones from the box. They are beautiful sculpts. Sad times though, the Rampagers, they're kind of monopose. It's kind of like Seth, you would know the Squig Hogs from the
Something that's like that is that dynamic. In order for them to hide the mold lines, they tend to be kind of monopose.
Yeah, and I was like, if I'm going to be running 9 of these, that means that I'm going to have quite a few repeats. But that's okay; they're sexy enough. And head swaps and a few arm swaps are pretty easy to do. But yeah, guys, I've not only done that, I also bought a house with my wife. So that's a pretty big deal. Yeah, big right. Deal. I can't tell you where, it's top secret, but I will. Kicker will be coming to a city near you, possibly, maybe.
There's a lottery to find out what city you're in.
Yeah, right.
You may have
to
sell the house and buy a new one. Sorry, buddy.
This does kind of dovetail into what I wanted to talk more about. Was I got this beautiful army? I'm really excited to run my Kroot. And it gets a bit frustrating because I struggle in my local hometown right now to get a game as easily as I could if I was in another city. It's just there's a smaller community here that plays wargaming and it's kind of spread out. It's not really focused in or you know, it's disheartening because I just want to go and run my new
guard. You want to play with your crew.
I just want to play with my Kroot. And my wife got home and she's like, why are you so sad? I'm like, I was supposed to get a game in today, but the store was closed and I couldn't get in and boo-hoo, boo-hoo. So that is something that bothers me tremendously.
Does the new house have room for a gaming table?
The new house definitely has space. I have my own hobby office area, which will be wonderful. And I just last night I was on Google Earth and I'm like, oh, hey, look, there's a game store literally around the block from me that hosts Warhammer every Sunday and Monday. So I'm very, very stoked. And this was purely by chance. I didn't like choose a house based off its proximity to store.
You're not changing my narrative. You chose the house based on the proximity.
Okay. I made sure it was close to a taco shop and a game store. Oh, that's all I need in life.
No Asian. You're usually a fan of Asian food.
Yeah, I really like Vietnamese food. There's not too much Vietnamese food in the city we're moving to.
All right. Well, I know you and that you tend to like that. That is like the realm you like to eat in.
Yeah, it really is. It really. So I settled for some tacos and a game store right around the corner. I can't complain. But yeah, I am looking forward to being like so close to a nice hub for 40K, so I can immediately get a game in every single weekend if I want. Seth, What have you been up to, man? I mean, did you do a tournament? Have you done anything?
I've been, not this past weekend. I haven't done a tournament, but I've been getting this together, working with our artists to get this together. If you remember last week, I had some knob bikers. I said I was going to do some scenic bases. I finished off those bases in honor of you, Kicker. I may have thrown a few tau bits on those bases.
I love it. They're great.
And I got like through a little bit of a backlog. This is Git Stompa and Nickit, and then a Grot Orderly for the.
Oh paintball. Yeah, I like the blood stains on the Orderly. That's good. That's quality.
He's been working. I mean, he's been doing the work. So I've been getting through the backlog.
You need to share the fact that you did stripes on the pants.
Yes,
that is not easy to do.
I do stripes on all of my orc pants. All of them. It is probably a mistake. Years ago when I started painting this army, I thought it looked cool. And then no one ever told me like, hey man, you're going to paint like a million of these. Maybe back off on that part. So I've just stuck with it. It is a little tedious, but it's fun. And at the end of the day, it looked cool and it makes them look unique. So all of my orcs have red stripy pants. Outside of that, I've been working on getting all of this together, which was a project, but we're done now. We've got most of it up and running. If I remember to click the buttons in the right order, I've been talking to some folks over on the Vanguard Tactics Discord and in our Discord. I've been powerlifting. I've mentioned that a few times in the past on the show. Kind of hit a wall. Really haven't made much progress in about 4 or 5 months. So I've been talking to some guys about what programs to look into and what's kind of the next steps. They're pushing me to do a competition, Kicker.
Dude, you got to. Like,
I have never even seen a powerlifting competition in person, let alone attended, like competed in one or anything like that. So
I don't having know, a goal helps so much. Just like having a tournament, it gets you to paint those last few miniatures you don't want to.
And I kind of, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it'll be good for me if I decide I'm going to do that. It's like, here's the point on the calendar. You've got to keep working. Even if you're tired tonight, you got to do it because this thing's coming. Just like when we have a tournament coming up and I've got to paint a stupid number of models in time. And it's like, I don't want to paint tonight, but I'm going to go put an hour in the hobby room because I know I need to get that done. So yeah, I think I'll probably, you know, talk with them some more, talk with some of the guys in our Discord. I do want to thank all the folks that stepped up to help our Discord. We created the Discord less than a week ago. It's already over 100 members. If you know Haunted Bagel from the chat over at War Games Live and their Discord, he stepped in to help be an admin because he's a lot more familiar with the tech backside of Discord. We've had a few other people reach out to be moderators. We already have a very rapidly growing community, which is really exciting to see over there. We're going to be doing some TTS leagues. I've been talking with the Hobby Goblins about maybe judging some monthly paint competitions in the Discord. So there's going to be a lot of active things going on. That community is going to keep evolving as we go. And Kicker, you'll love this. When talking with Haunted Bagel about, you know, what do we want from the Discord? I said, we want what the community wants.
Yeah.
So if the community wants something, we want to provide it for them. We want this to be the spot. So, you know, if we've got all the channels for all the other game systems in there, we've got a Nikki D nerd culture section where you can talk to him about all that. So whatever, you know, there's, if you want to have an in-depth serial thread with Kicker, we can add those things.
I mean, we should do a serial review section. I'd love that. Or maybe like serial combo section or maybe serial toppings. Like I'm all for it.
There have been people in the intro where when you come into Discord, you usually have to like post in a certain area to prove you're not a bot. And so we've had people posting in the welcome area, kind of saying who they are and what they're into. And then people have on their own taken it to telling us what their breakfast cereal of choice is and their baked potato topping of choice.
Okay, true story. I get about, you know, maybe 50 different emails a day, just like incoming random emails for Frontline Gaming, you know, customer service kind of stuff, right? And I literally get maybe one email every week that just kind of signs off with, you know, like the question, oh yeah, my favorite cereal is Cocoa Pebbles or something like that. Like just like some sort of random like sign off. Oh yeah, by the way, you know, I'm pro Reese's Puffs. So I'm a big fan of that.
I feel like we need to make an event with cereal-based teams.
Yes, please.
You know, like Adepticon has like best spirit. We could see like who has the best like themed costume to a specific cereal.
I love it. Well, you know who doesn't
flesh eater quartz with Count Chocula like dressed up people?
Gosh, jeez. I'm for it. I don't think though we should steal Nikki D's thunder. He is kind of the wardrobe expert here. He's got his outfit down pat. Yeah. Nikki D, let's go into your little, I guess, alcove here, your other side desk here. Let's pin over to it.
Well, I think that's the first time I've ever been noted as a fashion icon in any way, shape, or form. So I will take it. But the next thing I will say, Seth, we have an assignment because Haunted Bagel. Bagel is a starchy form of breakfast. Yep. We need to find out what Haunted Bagel's favorite sugary breakfast cereal is.
Good question. Ooh,
or better yet, could we have people also add what is their favorite bagel topping?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say in memory of, but
he's not dead. No, he's quite alive, actually. I believe he's currently active in the Discord as we speak. Well,
or, I mean, he could be dead because he is a haunted bagel, right?
Damn, we just went there. Nikki D, while we're at it, what is your favorite bagel topping?
Oh, I do everything bagel. All right. I love flavors. And so for me, it's everything bagel with whatever cream cheese I can get is my go-to.
Nice salad.
Yeah, but like you guys, I had some hobby progress. I had promised the team I was away for a bit. And I didn't have any hobby progress for a couple weeks, but I did get some Death Guard done. And I actually posted about that as well on the YouTube community page that I was getting some progress done as well, because, hey, I'm a man of my word. I said I was gonna get some hobby progress. It wasn't much, but I built a unit of Plague Marines, mostly with melee weapons because I don't have a lot of those. Built a foul blight spawn, have them primed. I'm dry brushing them. Didn't get done more than that because I was, after being away on work travel and things of that nature, I spent some time here in DC. We had the Bloomeroo, which is the festival for the cherry blossoms. And with that
Bloomeroo? I'm sorry, what the hell is it?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like Bonnaroo, but except it's not people camping in tents for a music festival. It's people celebrating the cherry blossoms and just generally.
All right.
Yeah. And just generally Japanese culture as well. So they have this kite festival. I spent, you know, a couple hours down in the National Mall, you know, doing that.
Yeah, I think I saw you put some pictures up about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had a great time with it, but you know, that's, you know, you got to do a lot of things in life to be able to, and to be able to enjoy life. And those were some, you know, great things. I live in Washington, DC. It's a great city, expensive, but great city. So having it getting to take advantage of some of the cheap or even free festivals and events is a great way to go. It's good to be outside of the house. My models are always going to be here to paint and to get them ready and that sort of thing. But it was a great time. It also felt nice to be back at my hobby desk here. And hopefully next week I will have 7 finished Plague Marines. That's my goal for next week in hobby progress.
Wait, what's the holy number of Nurgle? 7?
Yeah, Nurgle 7.
It's 7. Right? Yeah. Okay. And they come 7 in a box because that's the number for Nurgle. So
fair enough.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, I had one more thing that I was going to share, and I warned the boys ahead of the show that we were going to get a little personal tonight.
Oh, I thought we were already personal with we're
getting deep. Yeah. So the other thing that I've been working on is I've been seeing a therapist lately for about the past month, trying to work on some of my issues outside of, you know, obviously podcasting, but in life, and try to work on bettering myself. And I'm kind of interested now to see where this goes. It's been a productive process so far. But there's definitely some things that have been coming up in discussion that definitely feel like they relate to wargaming at times.
Ooh, okay.
Cause I, 2 weeks ago I went to a GT and I ended up coming in second, and I actually was coming home kind of feeling upset with myself that, you know, I should have won. I was so close. I should have won. And then I had a bunch of friends reaching out to me, you know, saying, "Hey, great run. Congratulations." And which I was like, it's like a 30-person GT, coming in second is not the biggest deal. But that was a very specific point of discussion recently with my therapist, was like, if you're a certain type of mindset, which I am, that maybe you don't value, you don't recognize coming close to the achievement. You only recognize the achievement.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm interested to see where that goes and see if that helps take some of the pressure, because I definitely, when I get in those situations where it's like I have a chance to win it, or I have a chance to make a big run, I definitely get in my own head a lot and I make a lot of mistakes. So I'm going to be interested to see how this process goes, to see if, while working through some other more important issues in my life, if the side benefit is, does that help with some of that stress and anxiety in those top table situations if I make it back to it? So I'll be intrigued to see how that goes. I don't know. As I said, it was going to get personal. So if you guys want to chime in, you're welcome to, but I also understand I might've, you know, hit a topic that people don't want to talk about.
No, dude. I mean, I mean, like, who hasn't seen a therapist? Gosh, you know, no, I definitely have. I have definitely seen a therapist at least once, probably twice as an adult now, you know, and it's very helpful. I'm somebody that likes to talk things out, and you're a crazy person if you talk them out to yourself. But if you go see a therapist, it's nice to have somebody that's kind of neutral. Yeah. That can keep you grounded. And that really has helped me tremendously. I am very guilty of, as a younger, more reckless kid, being extremely goal oriented to a point where I've almost killed myself by trying to climb a mountain way past safety parameters and like literally hanging off the edge of a mountain. Like this is no longer safe just because I want to summit. And it really, you know, realigned my priorities in life, where it's not necessarily always getting to the top of the mountain, but enjoying the climb up. And that really was a huge like pivotal moment. And therapy can definitely help you just kind of realign your goals so that you can enjoy those moments. You can enjoy the tournament without necessarily having to.
Yeah, because like after having those discussions with her, I, you know, and then looking back at like all the people that reach out and they're like, hey, man, great run. I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, I did do good. I did do well. I should be happy and excited about that. But like in that moment, like, you know, that drive home, I was like, well, I should have won. Why didn't I win?
Yeah.
You know, and like I had a game against like my roommate at the event. Like he's a friend of mine. Like I shouldn't be grumpy about that game. I should be like, hey, my buddy won. Congrats. You know, I shouldn't be down on the situation. So, yeah, it was good to get that outside perspective. So, you know, Certainly, in my day job, I work in veterinary medicine, and there is a lot of mental health issues in that industry as a whole. And there is a bit of a stigma in that industry about reaching out and asking for help. So I've been trying.
Really? I would never have thought, just because it's kind of medical related and people are very comfortable.
Well, because there's kind of this old guard still that it's like, we went through it. We suffered through all the stresses and day-to-day problems that you're running into, and we didn't need to get help, even though those people are definitely not as mentally healthy as they could be. But they're, you know, that's the vibe, is we didn't get help, so you shouldn't need to get help either. You should be able to tough it up and do it yourself. So, you know, not only trying to be open with that at work about like, hey, I'm seeking help, I'm trying to improve myself, you know, and that helps me stay accountable. But also, you know, hey, let's be open here in the chat with everyone that about what's going on in life. So,
hey guys, share in the comments below, you know, if you have a personal experience that you want to open up to. Nikki D, you know, any thoughts on this more touchy, sensitive subject?
No, I think, you know, and Seth, kudos to you for taking those steps. I think that's always the important thing. We none of us are perfect as human beings. Now, our dogs, our cats, our pets, they're perfect and we love them. But for us as human beings, there's always an opportunity to change, and it takes a big step to admit that part, or even just the willingness. Like you said, there is a lot of stigma around these sort of things, and having the right framing. And I think just really, whether it's talking with a professional or talking with friends, giving somebody a call, we're all here for each other, and we all want to make sure that we're supportive of each other, supportive of each other's goals. And I think that to me, that to me personally is my biggest joy out of being in this hobby. One of the things that I realized talking with some friends is, you know, usually there's kind of three spheres of influence. It's our home, it's our work, and then it's a third place. And having this hobby and so many people you get to game with, you end up forming legitimate relationships, right? I mean, Seth, Kicker, the three of us, we all came together and we're all friends, you know, from this. I wouldn't have met you guys otherwise. Mm-hmm. And now you guys are like brothers, you know, to me. So this is a sort of thing where it's really just a part of, hey, let's be open with each other. Let's be open to these conversations, not be judgmental, you know, to it. And sometimes I think one of the important things is when having these conversations with people, it's asking, you know, one, do you just want to vent? Two, you know, are you looking for advice? Or three, are you looking for confirmation on an idea? You know, some people are at different points in that spectrum. Sometimes somebody just wants to vent. We've all been there, right? And that's okay. Other times it's, hey, I'm coming to you for advice. And that part there, you might not have the answer right away, but even just listening is a powerful tool. So Seth, kudos to you, bud.
Thanks.
And we'll look forward to a lot more.
A shout out, the person that actually pushed me to really start to talk to someone was our former producer, Dickie, Tech Priest Dickie. I had reached out to him in a moment of stress. I was talking to him and he was like, I think you need to get some help and talk to someone. So very much dovetailing right into what you're saying, Nikki D, is like, we are a supportive community, but you know, it was
100%
Tech Priest that was like, hey man, I think you need to talk to someone. And I was like, You know, you're probably right.
And so, and damn it, this community is so good. Like, that's another guy that we only know through 40K. Like, right? Yeah. It's just, oh my gosh, yeah. But speaking of
talking and opening up, you might want to check out our friends over on StatCheck, the Champions of 40K podcast with Steve Joel is back in action on their feed. And just this week, we released the episode that him and I recorded almost a year ago.
Oh, damn.
So go check that out. We did do a re-record a couple weeks ago. It's kind of some updated information. And then he did a little bit of editing towards the end to add a little bit more stuff to it. So go check that out. I did want to support Steve because I know he's been off again, on again with that podcast, and he's really getting back into gear with it. And of course, you know, a little self-promotion never hurts.
Well, that people can learn a little bit more about you, Seth. Yeah. Like, right? That's a great episode.
You know, maybe this sort of lightens the mood a little bit before we go into our next segment, which is Kicker telling us about the industry news.
we're going to speed right through this though, guys. Okay. Yeah. New studio, new format. We're going to go through the new releases pretty damn quickly. What we want to talk about, though, is the Kill Team set. This is the Mandrakes versus the Night Lords. You know, Kill Team, fine, whatever. You love it, you hate it. It doesn't make a difference. Those models are going to be used for 40K, specifically the Mandrakes. We need new Mandrakes for Drakari, right? They need these damn models. The new ones are sexy. They're not too different from the original ones. They're basically the same kind of thing, just updated. But it's nice to have new ones in plastic.
The old ones were fine cast, yeah. So
there we go. That alone is a reason to get it. They make it a little bit more, you know, approachable too, getting plastics easier to work with and easier to paint and whatnot. But something that no one has even talked about, which just blows my mind, is the massive terrain piece that comes with this. Yeah. It's not a big, you know, ruined building like we all are familiar with. It's just this large, I don't even have to call it structure. There's a photo of it there if you're watching with us. It's just a very large
power generator or something.
Yeah. And you can stand on it. There's some stairs. It's just a very large, hefty terrain piece, which, you know, no one has even discussed is coming in that box set. So, you know, new box set up for pre-order this weekend. We've also got more love going for Warcry. We've got the Lumineth Realm Lords versus the Nighthaunt, you know, another box set with a lot of value added to it. Warcry is fun. The models are gorgeous. But, you know, obviously we're more 40K focused here, so we're not going to go into the weeds about that one. The other thing we should talk about is the gnomes. We have to talk about the gnomes from Blood Bowl. Yes, there we go. Beautiful, beautiful, kick-ass gnomes. These are, I believe, announced, Seth, correct me if I'm wrong, at Adepticon, right?
It's the goose. Yes. You see the goose kicker?
There's a goose. There's a fox. There's a badger. Foxes.
Yes.
We need more badgers in the hobby here. So I am very in favor of this.
I believe the footballs appear to be acorns.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Okay. All
it's
right.
Beautiful. The details are great. I've never once more wanted to buy Blood Bowl models. I have no intention of playing Blood Bowl, but I want these miniatures just to paint and have as a nice little hobby
thing. Cleanser.
Yeah. So guys, if you want these miniatures, make sure to check out our website on Saturday when the pre-orders go live. We have the links in our notes, I guess, in our, you know, here with the show. So please consider using us. It helps us a little bit. And of course, it goes towards Frontline Gaming to help us keep on putting on events. Speaking about events, guys, the BAO went live last week. The event is sold out.
Bam.
What? That was fast. Jeez. Yeah, I've gotten we made the announcement that it was sold out today, and my phone has been exploding with people trying to get in, like, oh, I didn't know, or I was waiting, or I didn't expect it to sell. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, it's first come, first serve. Obviously, we want to try to accommodate as many people as we can. As people have to cancel, delay, or no longer make it, we'll put tickets. We'll put tickets back in the web cart.
You need to click on the web cart and say notify me, because when Kicker adds the tickets back to the website, you'll get the text or the email, and then you can go purchase it. That's the way.
Yeah, and it's totally automated. You know, that way everyone gets pinged at the exact same time. Yep. I try to only add web cart tickets in the web cart in a time that, you know, is kind of fair for all. Usually about, you know, 9 p.m. Central time, so that it's not super early for the people on the West Coast or super late in the afternoon. So anyway, but those tickets, you know, when they're gone. We are trying to get another breakout room that's right next to the main hall so that we can add in maybe another 20, 30 people. I'm waiting on the venue to confirm it. I think the reason the BAO sold out so fast is it is a little bit smaller this year, but also we added a lot of value. You get this one ticket that includes your shirt, it includes access to the KubelCon, it includes a bunch of merch. It's kind of a really cool value package. So we might be doing more of these value packages in the future, because people seem to really like them.
I mean, I always like t-shirts.
Yeah, right. Who doesn't like a t-shirt, right? Yeah. Guys, in the comments section, please tell us, what's your favorite, you know, event exclusive merch that you'd want included with your ticket? It seems like a lot of people like objective markers for 40K, but I think t-shirts are a good, you know, standard. Everyone could use a good shirt.
Yeah.
talking about merch, Atlantic City Open has a value package as well. You have your standard ticket as well as, well, for $40K, you can only get the value ticket, which is great. It includes some food, a little bit of merch. The other smaller game systems do have
food. Is nice because the food is a bit of a walk from where the hall is.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I typically, the last year, mostly just ate in the hall for lunch. Years before, I tried to wander out, and you kind of got a little sparse on time sometimes. But yeah. Dinner is totally fine. Go walk around.
Yeah. So dinner, dinner definitely after the rounds are done. But having lunch in the hall, you know, for a very affordable, it's bundled into your ticket. So it's actually a very perfect. Good value you're getting right there. I think we're going to have cheeseburgers one day, a pasta dish the next. It's pretty cool. This is our largest event on the East Coast. Cherokee's big, ACO's bigger, and it's only getting bigger. We've added quite a few game systems this year. And as of today is Tuesday, I just added all those other game systems in the web cart. So now you can get Song. You can go see Kill Team, of course. Blood Bowl. Yes, there's Blood Bowl there. There is Warcry. Warcry. What else we got? We got Kings of War. I mean, you got so many different game systems there. So please consider coming to the Atlantic City Open. And the next big one that I think Seth is going to, hopefully Nick's going to go to.
I should be, fingers crossed, work schedule kind of got a little bungled, but I should be able to make it.
So we got the Lone Star Open in July. You got to love it. Lone Star Open. The Lone Star Open is our Texas event, which is dedicated to the military folks. And I had a really fun talk with Red Powell early today of the U.S. Army. He kind of runs the U.S. Army esports team. And it looks like the U.S. Army will be doing a really cool social that all are welcome and invited to go to. So that will be something that more. Yeah, it'll be really sweet. So basically, on Saturday after the last round, go and roll some dice. I mean, go and grab some dinner with a bunch of guys. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun, good time. Yeah. And then finally, yes, the Champions Cup. I see the logo there in the back. We have the Champions Cup set up and going. It is epic. We've got a really cool primary, I guess we're going to call it sponsor. It's a brand that everyone knows and everyone loves, and we're not going to tell you who it is just yet. Seth, you're playing, right? Are you playing with Vanguard Tactics?
I actually just got word today from the Vanguard Tactics team. I am tentatively playing with them. I'm excited for that. I feel like, you know, we talk about teams a lot. Teams, I think you need to have a good mesh of personalities and goals, and I feel like very much I'm going to mesh with a lot of their goals and personalities. I hang out with them and talk with them anyway. I'm a teammate, so I'm excited for that. Also, they're good quality players, so they're going to push me to be better as a player, which is also kind of what I need sometimes, is that kick in the butt to try something new and try something a little bigger and better and tougher.
Oh, sweet, dude. Sweet, 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 sweet. Nikki D, can we go to Nikki D? Are you going to be coming to Champions Cup? Are you joining us?
I am currently set to be part of the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen team that'll be at the event. So my plan is to be there. And I think, as I have talked about, I'm working on making a switch to playing Age of Sigmar, but I need to keep my 40K play going at least through Champions Cup, because I'm committed to the team, that great group of guys, and playing something chaosy at the event. Mm-hmm. So, beautiful. Yes.
We've got Nikki D right now. Let's stick back with Nikki D. We're going to have him take off with our nerd news, because nerd news is a critical part of our show.
Go back to Nikki D.
All right. Go back to Nikki D. There we go. Take it away, man.
All right. So, guys, it's the first week of April, right? So I wanted to cover for us some key items that are coming out this month. First things first, and this is something that we've talked about on the show, Netflix, April 19th, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. Are we excited? Are we planning to watch it?
Yes.
Kicker, Seth, what are your thoughts?
Yes. I'm excited. I enjoyed the first one. I know it kind of got a little bit of, it wasn't as best. I enjoyed it. So
just enjoy it. Yeah. Like, guys, don't like hyper-analyze it. Just go in for a good time. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't particularly enjoy it, but I will watch the second part.
-5 points. Get off the show.
I'm still interested. Like, it's the sort of thing, like, we don't get enough, you know, sci-fi fantasy series or movies out there. So I'm going to watch it. I still want to do that. But we've got that. And that's a big one. Seth, something that you've been talking about I know you're excited for, on Amazon Prime, we've got April 11th Fallout series. Now, there's been some updated trailers, but I mean, I think Amazon typically does a weekly release for theirs. I think. No, they do all
they
at
said
once,
this
right?
time it's all at once. They normally do weekly, but they said this time it's all at once, which I am, because it's all available on the 11th. So next weekend, You boys are on your own.
Now, Kicker, did you play the game? Like, are you familiar with Fallout? Are you interested in this? Are you interested just because Seth is interested? Where's your
I'm not just a sheep, but no, I have never, ever, 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 ever played the game. I don't know anything about the game. I saw the trailer though, and I was immediately hooked. Like that's it got me with that, right? Yeah. So I'm going in with no preconceived idea of what to expect. I saw just like oh geez, come on, what was the fungus one we just watched? The Last of Us?
Oh, Last of Us, yeah.
I never played the game, but I love that series, and I'm kind of hoping the same for Fallout.
Yeah, no, it's going to be very good. They've already gone on record as saying the storyline that they're showing in this TV show is a new storyline for the Fallout universe. There's plenty of stories to be told in the Fallout universe, so it's cool that it's not a retelling of one of the games. I mean, to give you an idea of like how excited my wife and I are for this, she gets a lot of coffees from the Bones Coffee Company. And they sent her like a text message advertisement today with a Fallout coffee mug. And she was like, do you want it? And I was like, yes, just click purchase on that, please. Thank you.
So we've got Fallout, but there's some stuff happening in theaters too, right, Nick?
Yeah, there is. And Seth, this part too, I think I've got a slide in here as well for what's coming up. And, but for these, so three movies here in April, I'll go in order. April 5th, we have Monkey Man. It's a movie done by Jordan Peele in his production studio, but it's actually directed and starring Dev Patel. It's going to be kind of an action crime fighter movie that's there. So, Jordan Peele has been famous for his horror movies of recent years, and obviously Key and Peele. If you're not familiar with Monkey Man, and if you are of the certain age, go and watch the Red Band trailer on YouTube. I think you'll be interested, especially if you like John Wick style, sort of movies. So Monkey Man is the first one. Second movie that I'll note, Civil War. Kicker, you noted this a couple weeks ago, I think, as something that you were interested in. And then the last one, April 19th, our boy, our favorite Warhammer 40K fan, Henry Cavill, and his The Ungentlemanly Warfare movie. I am going opening night to see that one.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Yeah, that looks solid. That looks solid. Kicker. Yeah.
Are you in for it?
No, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
It's actual history.
World War II, Kicker. So, it's up your alley.
This is based off true stories. So, like, I mean...
This is my jam. It's basically a documentary. I can't get my wife to watch this. This is educational. We're going to go watch it. It's educational.
I mean, you can get her wife to watch it probably because Henry Cavill's in it, right?
and Alan Ritchson, who plays Reacher in the Amazon series as well. Okay. He's in it. He's supposed to have a pretty good part.
He's the guy with the bow in the glasses in the picture, right?
Yes, okay. He is. I didn't even recognize him the first time that I saw the trailer because like he was, I mean, when you think about like, oh, how could Clark Kent be disguised as Superman? He wears the glasses. And then I didn't even recognize Alan Ritchson in the trailer for that. So there you go.
Perfect.
Awesome. Seth, why don't you take us into our main segment for tonight?
All right. So I thought it would be an interesting time tonight to talk about Terrain. Yeah. Because Kicker, we're making some changes over at Frontline Gaming for the Terrain setup for our events, but I thought it would be interesting to kind of talk about, because I've been in the competitive community for a few years. I've been in for 40K longer than that. Terrain has come a long way from when I first got inside. I can remember, in third edition, I'm a poor kid that barely can afford a box of Space Marines. Making Terrain out of like foam and painting it with some craft store paint.
Taking some green fabric and throwing it on the table. Yeah, right?
Green fabric on the table with some books underneath as hills. And then fast forward decades, and now we have literally pre-painted terrain that comes out of a box, and you can build it, and it looks beautiful. There's super intricate resin pieces out there I've seen. There's a plethora of terrain. We've come a long way. I thought that was kind of interesting to think about just how far we've come. I mean, in the beginning, Games Workshop didn't even have more than like one or two terrain sets. They're throwing terrain and kill team purely boxes.
Yeah, and the GW terrain, which was kind of the only, I guess, terrain out there that was manufactured, was not necessarily functional, right? It was pretty
like the old trees from third edition. Snapped so stupidly easy.
I remember the giant, I don't know what they were called, the giant ruins, right? That basically as tall as I was on the table.
I remember in the Imperial Sanctuary or something.
Yeah, something like that. Just massive tall ruins. But yeah, they've come a long way. And then of course companies like Frontline Gaming have also been making more and more terrain that has been more and more functional.
Before companies like Frontline Gaming, they're was no one else making terrain on the scale of the game. You like, you either made it yourself or you bought it from GW.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now the natural segue is tournaments, and tournaments have gone through a number of different terrain styles over the years. There were, for a number of years, fixed layouts were the norm. The terrain was set by the TO. But there was a period, particularly, I believe it was 6th edition of 40K, where you literally rolled to figure out how many pieces of terrain were each in each table quarter. So you literally would break the table up. If actually, it wasn't even table quarter. It was the 2x2 tiles. This was back when it was a 6x4.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
rolled a D3 for each tile. And that's how many pieces of terrain went in that tile when you were generating your game board.
Totally random.
So it was totally random. I actually can remember in 6th edition playing at a fairly decent Games Workshop store back when. And essentially, like, what we would do, rather than doing that, because that felt so, as it sounds, random, we would just grab, like, the third person that was hanging out, and we were like, build a table. Like, make something that looks cool. That was all we cared about.
Dude, I remember my first tournament I went to, every single table was completely different. It was all set by the TO. There was no like rhyme or reason. It was a lot of fun.
You just rolled on the table.
No, that was a random tournament I went to in like Florida. Like, I don't know. It's just, I just drove there with my buddy. We're like, we're going to this big GT. And it was such a hodgepodge of terrain. It was cool. They were super, immersive terrain sets, but definitely far from balanced or fair in any way.
Yeah. And I say Warzone Atlanta because the Warzone Atlanta for a long time had like dozens of bespoke themed tables, which were really cool, but it did give a very wide play experience.
Yeah.
In terms of, if you got the table with a bunch of open pieces, you might be in trouble. Over time, the competitive community has kind of started pushing more towards for things that are a bit more fair and balanced. And that has basically taken two forms over the last few editions. That's either a symmetrical fixed layout. And actually Frontline Gaming did this back in 8th edition. I can remember going to LVO it was actually 2020. It was like literally the LVO before COVID.
Yeah.
And their top 100 tables were all fixed layouts based on the deployment type, and they were symmetrical. They were called the old champs tables, if anyone remembers that. Mm-hmm. So we had the champs tables, but then GW in 10th edition kind of came out with formalized fixed terrain setups in 9th and 10th edition for their events, and then that's kind of been adopted. Early on in, I think it was 9th edition. Oh boy, we've been doing this too long, Kicker.
We've been doing this for a while, yeah.
When I'm like, 9th edition is when Frontline Gaming started doing player place terrain, and I'm like, yeah, that was a bit ago. But there was a vocal part of the community that enjoyed that. There was also a vocal part of the community that didn't enjoy that. So Kicker, I thought it was important to ask, why has Frontline Gaming decided to make a change to a fixed terrain layout?
Yeah, I mean, so I literally, I keep my hands on the pulse of the community. That is my job, right? I want to do
like
what
strangling the community, Kicker.
No, no, not strangling.
Finger, like, finger on the pulse. Finger hands on the pulse. Is like, I have the community like this.
not choking, just listening to the heartbeat. I want to know what people want, right? That's really, really important. Yeah. I like to think of myself as pretty approachable. I want anyone to feel like they can reach out to me and talk to me and tell me what they want, for better or worse. I don't take anything too personally. And that has been the goal, right? What do people want? The reason we actually had set terrain when I first started this job, we had set fixed terrain and we pivoted to player plays. People have loved player plays throughout 9th, but as we got into 10th, more and more people wanted set terrain, and we are totally working our way to making that possible. We are going into BAO. This is now finally set terrain, because this is what the majority of our players that go to a event of ours has been asking. So
and people and that's have been kind of to, that's been like a critical mass that recently that
yes, it's only been, I'd say, in the past 3 months that we had enough people of our, like, and when I say people, I'm talking about people that actually go to our events. It's nice if you're in, like, I don't know, let's just go like Czechoslovakia, right? And you have an opinion.
We do care what the wider community's opinion is, but at the end of the day, the most important vote is the people that are coming to our
exactly. Event. So we do post event surveys. We observational data. I like to talk to people that actually come to events at the end of the event. Like, hey, what do you think? And at the end of the day, recently, it's just been okay, hey, let's try it. Let's try it. Let's try this. And at the same time, I've been gently asking our team, hey, can we get some more set terrain that or more terrain that can work for set deployment? And now we got to the point where we've got community, not Frontline Gaming employees. I mean, we've got some Frontline Gaming employees as well, but we've got community people helping to determine how to use our terrain for set layouts. So we've got several set terrain layouts that have been, let's just call it tested, beta tested by different community groups as well as our own team. And we'll have for BAO, I believe, three different sets. One is going to be the traditional GW set, which guess what? We don't have to reinvent the wheel there. We can use kind of their set. One will be, I believe, Chaos, and one will be the Sanctuary. Chaos being the Sanctuary being the sister set, for lack of a better word. And now, those will be set.
I enjoy this kicker because I do enjoy having a bit of variety in the type of terrain I see on a table.
Yeah.
Because if it is, I understand the argument for fixed terrain. You want to be able to plan and know in advance what you're dealing with so you can design your army around it. And to be fair, the Chaos and the Sister set have a very similar footprint. And the GW layout is a little bit more dense. So it's interesting to have that kind of mix because you can't have an army that entirely depends on I'm able to hide and more or less leapfrog from terrain feature to terrain feature.
And Seth, that is intentional, right? We want to make sure that our events provide not just for the top 5% of super competitive players that won one set of the layout. We want to appeal to the 95% of people that go to our event and want to have a different, let's just call it style or aesthetic of table terrain. So it's, you know, go from Chaos to Sisters, as well as it allows for, let's just call it, I don't want to say balance, but it keeps you on your toes. You can't just master one set. There's going to be at least three sets. And we'll probably adjust them somewhat by the time we get to LVO.
And I think the other thing when we talk about terrain layout that's important, if every event had the same terrain layout, it would get so boring.
I would be so
bored of it. Now, I know there's some people that wish every single event had the exact same terrain layout from the small RTT and, you know, Spokane, Washington to the largest, you know, European team event. They want the exact same terrain every single place. And to me, that gets boring. That would be like, you know, if you're playing in like FPS as kicker or Nick.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What if you played the same map every round on an FPS every single time?
I will admit that I don't know if you guys remember the original Halo. I played Blood Gulch way too many times. You guys know that map.
But if you played nothing but Blood Gulch.
Yeah, it gets boring pretty damn quickly.
Just having some variety is nice. And I think that also helps to give an event a bit of flavor and a bit of its own appeal. It's a little bit, this terrain is different. Yeah. It's still a fixed layout, but it is a different experience than playing on a fixed layout from another event.
And Seth, you know, Frontline Gaming, we have quite a few attendees come to our events. The goal is to focus on the majority of the players. We can't, you know, so the majority of players do really not want to have a boring experience. They enjoy a little variety, like you're saying. So that is important to us to try and keep some different types of terrain sets.
Nikki D, what has been your experience with terrain in tournaments?
Yeah, so for me, and, you know, Kicker had called me a couple weeks ago just to kind of, hey, you know, as he was lightly touching the pulse, not strangling me, what are the thoughts on the community? And there was certainly a time where my preference was player place terrain, especially in ninth edition. I thought, you know, the rules at the time, the terrain rules at the time, it was appropriate. But as I had told Kicker, you know, a few weeks ago, was, you know, generally I find if I'm doing a player place terrain event, you know, if I'm playing against a shooty army, I almost set up my terrain the same exact way every time. If I'm playing against a melee army, I set up my terrain in that sort of way. So, like, it was one of those things where the idea of player placed terrain, to me, it was, like, good in theory and worked well. But I often was placing my terrain pieces in the same spots over and over again.
You sort of solved it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it was. And ultimately, at that point, it became and this was my message to Kicker, was that was 10 minutes of our setup in game time, you know, for me at the table, where I could be just, you know, playing the game, or, you know, just kind of going through with my opponent. So I have become an advocate, or, you know, someone who's been more interested in the fixed terrain set and how that's going to run. So, you know, that part of it, I think it, I don't want every event to have the same exact terrain and to have the same terrain shapes. I do want variety across events, but, you know, generally for me, fixed terrain, you know what you're kind of going to get. I think that's the better way to go.
All right. Well,
and you know, I reached out to Nick because obviously he's a personal friend of mine, but that's one of the beauties of our new Signals Discord is, hey guys, you hop in the Discord, it's a direct link to us to give us your feedback, because, you know, that's a place where we can have that conversation, because we really do rely on you.
And of course, if you want to join the Discord is free to anyone that wants to join. There's links down in the description of the show, both on YouTube and podcast. There's always links over at the Frontline Gaming Community page. If you can't find a link for some reason, you can also just message myself or Nikki D and we will get you a link. I would say message Kicker, but I feel like that's slightly beyond your tech skills right now with Discord.
Yeah, I'm so overwhelmed. Please,
it's all right.
Just
it's all right. But that was a great segue. Perfect kicker to our community spotlight. We've added a segment because we used to have the live show. Last week was our last live show, and we had that live interaction with chat, and they could ask us questions. And when we were talking behind the scenes of going this pre-recorded format, Kicker was adamant that he wanted to still have a way to interact and kind of talk with the community. And so this was our solution, opening the Discord and every week having a thread in the Discord for community questions. Yeah. And I opened it up and we got a lot of questions, Kicker.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Look at these questions. So, okay. Let's take the best questions.
And this is, the questions that Seth and I curated, it's not the full list of questions. So if your question was not, these are the best. This is the top gun of questions for week one.
Kicker, I want you to know that Adam S is indeed Adam Solis.
He's our head judge. Do we give him preferential treatment?
No, because he asked some interesting questions. When will the cast appear at an event dressed up like their logo, which you can see there in the upper corner? Geez.
I don't want to dress like a giant ass donkey. Like, just,
I mean, the point is the logo sort of looks like us to begin with. So, you know, a little, for me, green face paint and some ogre ears. Nikki D just needs a tail and some orange face paint. Kicker, you just don't get ears. Like a donkey mask off like Amazon. Yeah. I think you'd be good. There like go. The That's horse, like the rubber horse mask.
Okay, I do know the rubber horse.
And he also asks, whose job is it to wind up Kicker every morning at events? Because boy, do you get up with some energy, Kicker.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, kudos to the cereal. It's really the sugary cereal. Like, it's not a joke.
Mile
like,
run first thing in the morning?
Well, the mile run definitely, like, that resets my mind, but the cereal fuels my soul and my gets my metabolism going. No, seriously, the cereal, the sugary kick definitely gets me going. Mm. I should tell people it's not just cereal. Sometimes I'm throwing chocolate chips, M&Ms in there. Let's just go. Yeah, let's go to town.
I've seen it. Still sugar. It looks more like still a dessert sugar. With like a vague amount of cereal in it sometimes.
Yeah.
So remember, folks, these are Discord names. So some people are Adam S and some is Hawks is for life. What's your favorite army to play against?
Ooh.
Nikki D.
Take it away, Nikki D.
Favorite army to play against.
Yeah, so first things first, I won't necessarily reveal his name, but Hawks is for Life is one of my local buddies and became recently, actually in the last couple weeks, a father for the first time. So congrats, Hawks is for Life. Congrats, buddy. Can't wait to meet the little guy. My favorite army to face, though, I like facing it's not just one, but I like facing melee pressure armies because it becomes really it's both of you are interacting. So orcs.
Yeah.
Drukhari, right. World Eaters, like any of those, like I know, hey, you're going to come and swing at me. I'm going to come and swing at you. Like we get to interact. And that to me is a game, regardless of win or lose, we're both rolling dice. It's a bloodbath. But to me, I think those are my favorite types of games. But I'll generally say orcs, Drukhari, World Eaters, favorite factions to play against.
Yeah. Kicker.
Yeah. I got to say, first of all, I hate going against Knights and I hate going against custodies. Absolutely hate going against custodies. Yeah, I don't know. They're my kryptonite, right? I love as a guard player, I've always loved going against Tyranids because you know Starship Troopers are just it's natural. But I really do enjoy playing against orcs too. I just I don't know. It just feels like the big green menace bringing on. Everyone likes
playing against orcs because you kill a ton. You're killing a bunch of stuff.
It feels good. It feels good, man. It really does. It feels good. Even if you lose, you at least killed a bunch of bad guys.
That's true.
What about you, Seth?
Knights. Because it feels like you did something. When you kill a knight, there is a demonstrable drop in your opponent's damage output. They lost a huge thing for, like, it's like you did something. Like, when you play against some of those armies, like, I'm not bashing Nids, but right now Nids are like a horde, and they're just got a bunch of little gribblies, and they don't really matter. They're just taking up space. They're blocking. Yep. And you're like, I killed a unit, and they're like, oh, whatever, I have 20 more of those. You know, you kill a knight, your opponent's like, oh, crap, what do I do now? You know, it's always that, you know, is it going to crump me? Is I'm going to crump them? So I always enjoy the knight matchup. Up next, we have Clouds Brewing. Personal question for Seth. Since coming on board as FLG podcaster, how has this impacted your interaction with players at tournaments? I don't think it's impacted too much. You know, certainly people recognize me at tournaments, but the community's not that big anyway that, you know, people didn't already recognize me because I was at a bunch of events. I certainly think there are some times where I've bowed out of a game and not fought over a contentious ruling just because I realized that I'm not just representing me, I'm representing the company.
Don't make me look bad, Seth.
What?
Don't make me look bad.
No, but it's like, I am aware of that. Like, there are times where I'm like, I think I'm right here. I could push it. But at the same time, like, what is it worth it? Is winning that game that important? Is it going to look good if I'm wearing, you know, an FLG shirt and I'm causing a fuss? So there's definitely times where it's made me be a better opponent because knowing I represent more than just myself. And the same with when I wear like the Vanguard Tactics jersey. I know I'm representing more than just Seth. So I think that, and I think that's true for a lot of teams where you have a big team and they have a good reputation, like the Hobgoblins or the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen, where you're not just representing yourself, you're representing the rest of the guys in the room that are on that team. So I don't think it's a unique experience.
Yeah, Seth, one thing here before we move on to the next question, I'll point one thing out. So ACO last year was in the men's bathroom. Okay. And I'll just say
All right.
That is not the appropriate place to introduce and say, hey, Nick, or hey, Seth, or hey,
very
kicker.
True. Good point, Nick.
So wait until you're at least washing hands.
Definitely or after the washing of hands.
At least that is the one thing that I would ask. That has been, when I saw this question, that was immediately where my mind went, because there are certain things where it's personal space, people.
All right. Last question for tonight. Dave in the Discord asks, if you could remove one rule from 10th edition, what rule would you remove?
Oof, man.
Nikki D, you got one? I got one. Indirect. If I could just delete a rule out of the book, I would delete indirect. It's literally the definition of uninteractive. It just doesn't feel good. And indirect has always either been, it doesn't matter, no one uses it, or it's oppressive. It's one of the two. GW's never really hit that sweet spot, in my opinion.
I don't know if there's a rule that I would want to remove outright. And even something like indirect, Seth, like I grew up playing Warhammer Fantasy. Indirect shooting was this thing in Warhammer Fantasy, but like the rule in Warhammer Fantasy was, at least at the time when I was playing, was like, well,
unreliable.
You could only hit on sixes. And like that to me is, I think there are some of the things where there are rules which I wish were more, you know, limited in terms of what they could do. Or how, you know, how they could be applied. I actually, and even then from that standpoint, like a rule that I wish had more of an impact, like I actually wish Battle Shock and Leadership Shenanigans had like more of an impact in the game. You know, it's the sort of thing where it shouldn't necessarily be models running away, but, you know, it is something where I think right now, like the loss of OC, yeah, that's good. But if they only test in their command phase, like that limits when it goes off or when it can
particularly
happen.
Particularly with all the data sheet abilities that are like testing in your opponent's turn, you know, like I shoot you and you, Nick, have to test. It doesn't have as much of an impact because as soon as your turn starts, you're like, I'm on Battleshock.
Yeah, and I may be saying that Leadership and Battleshock should have more effect because one of my main armies is Chaos Demons that like relies on that as a mechanism. But, you know, generally it's the sort of thing where, hey, it is a statistic, you know, on your data sheet. It should be as impactful as a weapon skill, as a toughness, you know, that sort of thing. And that to me is just, there's always been a struggle for that rule to be meaningful without being, you know, just non-impactful in the game.
Kicker, do you think of a rule?
No, I mean, I generally really like 10th edition. I say this sincerely. I think it's the best edition. Something though that bothers me as a guy that tends to like cavalry models a lot is I hate how it's kind of a bad key word. Like you can't go through terrain with it. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot of the synergies or buffs because you're not infantry. It's just like,
well, when
cavalry
can go through walls and then like cavalry can't. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like cavalry should get some sort of, I don't know.
They need
I just
to get some mounted in general needs to get some benefit for the drawback of not going through terrain.
Exactly. And I'm not sure what that is, but gee, man, every time I want to bring, you know, mounted stuff, they just don't move fast enough or have the durability to survive. So, I mean, some of them do move fast, but anyway, that is my problem. I kind of hate that keyword, the mounted keyword, as opposed to just making them infantry or something.
That's fair.
But right. that's about it.
Let's get into our community hobby progress again over on our Discord. If you want to post up every week, join us there, or of course, join us on the Frontline Gaming community page. This week, we had two submissions. Aaron posted up his Drukhari Rax conversion. Look at these sweet models. Look at that amazing highlighting on that.
Yeah,
that so that's not just like a dude that took a dry brush to that thing. Like, he did some work. There's even like that little fluid ampule on the back of the gun. I don't know what guns the Rax have, but can you see on that pink line of ampule back there?
Wow.
Yeah. Looking really good, Aaron. Great work. Up next, Dave posted up his World Eaters Mauler Fiend. I do enjoy that he used the white armor for his World Eaters. Where do you guys sit on white versus red armor?
100% white, man. It just white. You got to applaud anyone that's taken on that as a challenge, you know, and it usually looks really, really good. I mean, obviously, if it's done by a talented painter. What about you, Nicky D?
Yeah, white or red? To me, the Horus Heresy scheme for the World Eaters is 100% way to go. I prefer that. Absolutely 10 times out of 10. Easy.
All right. Well, boys, that wraps up our new show in the new format.
Wow.
So final thoughts for the night, guys.
I'm going to explore the rest of our studio, see if I can find the secret smugglers.
Where's the droids, damn it? Where's the droids? Chewbacca back there somewhere.
There's definitely a Chewbacca somewhere back there. Yeah. But no, I want to say thank you to Seth, really, for spearheading our new and improved layout, man. You kind of you took that challenge on. Obviously, you asked for some input from Nick and I, but that was your baby, and I think it looks good.
So happy with the result.
If you're listening to a podcast, just go online real fast. Check out
the YouTube channel. Give us a sub. We would love it. You know, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. But yeah, check it out, because this is a really sexy looking set, I got to say.
It makes us look good, man. Yeah,
we already looked good, kicker.
Nick, what do you think, man?
So a couple things that I'll note. Seth already mentioned it, but check out the 40K Game Changers, or Champions of 40K with Steve Joel and the interview with Seth. I listened to it this morning, and Seth, I know you, but
I should regret?
No, okay, no. Good. And I think, you know, really, really to me, I think it was a great conversation. I always enjoy Steve's show. Steve's show might actually be my favorite, like aside from us, obviously.
Of course.
I don't know if I should say that, but like Steve's show is my favorite Warhammer related thing to listen to. And to get hit, you know, having him talk with you, I thought it was a really great episode. Really great talk about getting engaged in the 40K community, about getting into competitive play, all the things that are there. I learned more about your painting technique and your striped pants for orcs. So go check out that episode. That's point number one. Point number two, folks, I already have many, many friends that have already bought their tickets for Atlantic City Open. Those went on sale last week. Mm-hmm. So get your tickets before they sell out so that you can come hang out with me and Seth
and you don't and have kicker to beg at the kicker event for a ticket.
Oh, hey, should we do like a Signals from the Frontline, you know, dinner with a bunch of our friends from Discord?
So. Yeah, I think I'm in.
I'm down in for a Discord meetup.
Yep. I'm in. And then final thing just for me, I am playing in a trios tournament I'm playing with Adam and Robbie from the Legion of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Can't wait. So I'm going to hang out with a bunch of the guys from Legion. I will probably put some video shorts up on our YouTube page as well, just to, you know, as I'm checking in from the event, saying hello from some of the guys, showing off some of the armies that are there. So be sure to check that out. I'm really looking forward to a week. It for me gets to be a weekend of playing 40K with the boys, as in like BOYZ. Like workforce, of course, as it goes to this sort of thing. So that's cool it. Like
that. Well, for me, I'm going to keep working on my secret project. Hopefully I can it's not going to be done. By no means is it going to be done by next week, but hopefully I can debut where I am, kind of reveal the whole plan. I'm super excited for it. It's going to be fun. This has been a thing that's been in the background for us for probably a month or two. So I'm excited to kind of finally bring this out. I've been doing some other content on the YouTube channel. I'm going to keep working on some more produced videos for the YouTube channel. I don't, you know, really know what I want to do next, but this is where I ask you, the audience, you know, let us know in the comments, let us know in the Discord, what do you want to see us do? Because I'm happy to talk. You just got to give me something you want me to talk about. So that's it for tonight, though. We thank you so much for joining us. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of Signal from the Frontline. Have a great night, and we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.